Does the story of Jesus' call of his first disciples make you a little uncomfortable? Here we have Simon, more familiarly known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John, all at work, doing what they do every day of the week, which in this case is fishing. As Mark tells the story, Jesus walks by and says, basically, "Come with me." And without a moment's hesitation, each of them drops what he's doing, gets up, steps out of the boat, and goes with Jesus. I think we're normal to find this story a little uncomfortable. We cannot imagine ourselves dropping everything, leaving our jobs, our friends, our family, and going off to follow Jesus. Never mind the logistical oddity of the way the fishermen get to Jesus. They were apparently out in fairly deep water in a boat with a large net that required two or more men to maneuver. It's not really like they could just step out of the boat and trail along right behind Jesus. There had to be more to it than that. We know Peter can't walk on water, at least not for any real distance. But even given that missing information, even trying to find loopholes in the story, it still has a tendency to make us feel like we're not quite up to par, not up to the caliber of the real followers of Jesus. We may relate a little better to Jonah, who, as we hear today, gets a second chance. He really blew it the first time. Remember, the first time God told Jonah to go tell the people of Nineveh that they needed to change their ways, Jonah says, "Nope, I'm not going to do that. No way. I don't like the people of Nineveh. They are terrible, awful, no good, very bad people. And I will not go there, nor will I tell them anything. As a matter of fact, I'm going to run in the opposite direction. I'll show you, God, I will not do what you want." End of story. So Jonah does that. He, in his self-serving, righteous certainty, refuses to do what God says. He has made up his mind that the people of Nineveh are not worthy of God's loving kindness. So he gets on a boat headed in the opposite direction of Nineveh. And you probably remember from Sunday school that things do not go so well on that boat. A violent storm erupts, almost killing all the sailors until they finally throw Jonah, the source of all their problems, overboard. And then comes the giant fish who swallows Jonah. He stays in the belly of the fish 3 days until he is vomited out onto the beach. Even the fish couldn't stomach Jonah for very long. Actually, this was God's roundabout way of convincing Jonah that he should not try to run and should not try to avoid doing the work that God had called him to do. And I think that most of us relate a little better to Jonah than to Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John. We resist the call of God. We don't like the people that God wants us to love. And more than that, we don't think we're worthy of God's call. God says, "Hey, you, sitting at that desk, I've got a job for you." And we say, "Me? You cannot possibly mean me. I'm not the one you want. I'm more like Jonah than Peter. I don't like speaking in front of crowds. I really don't have much to say. I don't know all the names of the books of the Bible. And if I'm really honest, I haven't ever read the whole Bible. You want one of those guys who can spew out chapter and verse every time. You don't want me." And God says, "Yeah, you. I want you. And when we look at the folks that God used throughout time, we find that the list is not compiled of those with stellar or flawless track records. Remember Moses? I can't speak. Or Jeremiah? I'm only a boy. Then there's David and his philandering. Even Peter and James and John were not without reproach. James and John, on the way to Jerusalem, argue about their rightful position of honor. And a couple of days later, Peter goes so far to deny that he even knew Christ. So yes, you, and you, and you, and you. God calls each of us and gives us chance after chance to do the work he has for us to do. Sometimes we will get it right and reflect the glory and love of God. And sometimes we will fail and feel like we are in the belly of a whale, that dark and slimy place. And then God will reach out to us again, pick us up, clean us off, and set us back on the path to do the work he has given us to do. Right after this service, we will join together in Tyler Hall for our annual parish meeting. We will have great food and enjoy being together as we always do here at Grace. We will also talk about where we are, what we've done over the last year, and what God is calling us to do in 2015 and beyond. Also during this gathering, we will elect 5 folks to serve on the vestry for the next 3 years. I am very grateful for all of those who have offered themselves in this way. Those who have answered God's call and are willing to serve God and his church. Only half of these worthy servants will be elected, and that is the hard part, because each of them has offered themselves. They are ready and willing to serve. And for that, we should all be deeply thankful. Know this. Those who are elected are not perfect people. There are no perfect people. They are willing and they are faithful, but they are not perfect. Sometimes they will do just the right thing at just the right time. And sometimes they will not. They may even let you down. For some reason, it is easier for us to pick up on the times that things don't go the way we think they should than when they go just as we want them to go. I want to encourage you to tell your vestry members thank you for mostly getting it right. I want you to tell those who aren't elected thank you for being willing and being faithful. I want to encourage you to look more for what is right than what is not. And if you find something that is not right, to offer yourself as part of the solution instead of becoming part of the problem. Grace is a wonderful, loving, energetic, well-named congregation. I am so glad that all of us are here together. This big, messy, imperfect family of people that we are. Let us keep encouraging each other on the way. Amen.